Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of What Most People Think, and I am finally back from my Alan Partridge length stay at the Travelodge at Edinburgh Cameron Toll. And I got out of there, the final show, if you were there, the final show, I had a lovely final show on the Sunday, but I got out of there like a getaway driver, literally off stage. I had my suitcase with me. I made a dash. I think I rolled over a bonnet. I jumped in a car and I just said to the taxi driver, drive. And I got my train home and I was home yesterday evening. And I want to bring in this week's guest now, Alan Cochrane. Firstly, welcome back to the show.
Thanks very much for having me.
And also, have you ever had one of those in a fringe run where you've actually gone on the day that you finish and just like...
Many, many times, in fact. I did several Edinburghs where I parked a car near the stand.
Oh, that's lovely.
And literally finished the show and walked down to a parked car, including one, and I apologise if I've told you this before, but it's one of my enjoyable, grim life as a stand-up stories. I was driving back from the Edinburgh Fringe, and obviously I've just sort of hooked all the food that's in the fridge, especially if it's perishable, and I've sort of scooped it into a carrier bag, and then I've put it on the passenger seat as I'm driving back, and I had some crackers, like cheesy crackers, and you know that blue cheese that's in the triangle Santa Gare, you know that stuff?
Yes, yeah.
It was quite soft. I had that, but I was driving in the dark, and the crackers stopped working, so I found myself driving back to England and just using my hands into blue cheese.
Just getting fistfuls of blue cheese. You go, yeah, I'm definitely not depressed. I'm still happy. Serotonin's good.
And then as the journey continued and the cheese was finished, I started realizing I could smell blue cheese on my hands, and I'm thinking, is it going on the steering wheel? Like, it's all just grim and
then
weird.
Suddenly you need an antihistamine, and it all unraveled. I've done the park up round the corner one. That felt pretty smug 1 year, because I think your car is an extension of yourself, so it's an extension, it's a tentacle of your domestic life, so once you're in it you sort of feel closer to home.
Definitely.
I would say this as well, is on the Saturday, because I was so keen to get home to my family on the Saturday, I did this is the oldest blokey thing I've ever done, I did a dummy run of my dash from this. Luckily I got a cab yesterday, but I was like, if push comes to shove and the traffic's bad, I have to know minimum level if I get on my toes. So I did a dummy run. Correct. Timed it, and I thought, wow, I really am nearly 50. But it's good to be back. And also, someone else is getting back, and this is part of our subject this week, is that Labour are back to school next week as Parliament resumes. And so it's kind of a foreboding, I don't know, they're going back in exam year, but all the exams in 1 year. Questions to answer. Angela Rayner, a lot of you have seen, Angela Rayner has three houses. So that's been big news. So we'll be discussing whether that's okay or whether that's hypocritical. And then there was a report on the BBC about girls becoming more left-wing, because we often hear about boys becoming more right-wing. We're going to chat about what are the implications, what are the reasons for girls becoming more extreme in their views. I'm going to say it, more extreme. And then in the Patreon only, there's been this clip doing the rounds of the Diary of a CEO guy, Stephen Bartlett, just introducing the concept of an AI girlfriend to these other businessmen. And it's kind of... It's kind of alarming. The implications for all masculinity are clear and present. Okay, new patrons. As you remember, Alan, we rinse people based on their names and their names alone. It's funny, my friend who's also a patron of the show, Howard, who came to the show in Edinburgh, and he said to me, he said, you know, do people get upset when you roast their names? People get upset when I don't roast their names. It's the most common complaint I have through Patreon. It's like, I joined 2 months ago, and you still haven't speculated wantonly about me as a human being.
Excellent.
So let's go. Max Bradshaw. This is interesting because last week we had a string of really names that sounded like handsome men.
Oh, yeah.
And that is Max Bradshaw's pretty handsome, right?
And maybe from a bit of a inherited wealth type background, because Maximilian, surely.
Yeah, I mean, like when I grew up on a council estate, there was just Max's and it was always Max. But there's another kind of Max where you go, I think there's a few more syllables to come.
Yeah.
Max Bradshaw, at your service. We've also got Angela Mears. Angela Mears sounds like that's a luxury brand of something.
Oh, some, yeah.
Homeware thing that you and I maybe
a good posh soap or something.
Oh, the Angela Mears line.
Soap with pepper in it and grapefruit, something like that.
The Angela Mears pepper and grapefruit range. You know, you just go, like, you know, some things are expensive because something needs to be that expensive. Do you know what I mean by that? Where there's idiots that simply want to pay 40 quid for soap. So
right. If
you get the offer right, you could be that.
Yeah.
Like, look, what's the French crockery one? Le Creuset or whatever it is.
Le Creuset, yeah. We've got some.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Have you been banished from the north yet?
No, we're fine with it, especially the area I live. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you more Harrogate-based, aren't you? Or?
No, I live in South Manchester in quite a sort of snooty, well-to-do part.
Oh, see, this is the problem with being raised in the south.
You think everything in the north is grim?
We were conditioned to believe it, you know? It was part of our birthright. It was the propaganda.
It's not true.
It's not. No, they're really fancy bits. The furthest north I went and found somewhere really fancy was Yarm. You ever been to Yarm?
I think I must have gigged there, but I can't remember it.
Well, I walked into town, right, because the gig I was doing was in Stockton. God bless Stockton, love Stockton, but one of the rougher places that you're going to...
Definitely.
I'm not going to go full James Cleverly on it, but, you know, they're salt of the earth people in Stockton.
They were early adopters on the Brexit message.
They want to Brexit again.
Yeah.
They want to do another one. But then I walked into Yarm the other direction. I can't remember exactly where I stand, but I walked into Yarm and I was like, oh my God, they have places that do brunch.
Right, yeah.
Brunch, God damn it.
Yeah, northeast brunch.
People say there's no money. I was saying this during the Edinburgh run. There's one bit of the show where I was saying, because as we all know, there's no money. I said, except for you lot. Who are evidently at a comedy show at 4 p.m. on a fucking Tuesday.
Yeah.
Do you know a lot of people like around, because I'm 48, I'm working hard enough. Have you got mates that are like semi-retired now? I seem to have a lot of mates that are semi-retired. What the fuck is all that about?
Yeah, definitely. I wonder if, like, I can't remember that being true when I was 40 or 30. Mm-mm. But now I've turned 50 myself, so yeah. And also I've got a few mates that I go on a walking holiday with, and they're in their 60s, so they are really semi-retired, some of them. It's nice getting a little glimpse of what that must be like.
Is it?
Or well, is for them, it looks nice for them. I don't think I'll get that level of retirement, but it looks all right for some.
You say nice, I say the catalyst for most of my bitterness, I would say.
Oh, right.
I would say. And we also got M, so we got a one-worder, so we can't say too much about M, but we can only presume that she works in a place that is still a victim to the woke mind virus, which I'm now going to say in every show for a laugh. So where would that be recently? I guess it would be like maybe a library in Edinburgh, if that would be the place.
Is that a news story that I'm unaware of or something?
Well, where was the place that MSP Kate Forbes, she went and did a talk there, and then the performers there said that they needed to have a safe room?
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it, that so much of it is about the staff, like at the bar, that they can't work in a place where somebody might say something. I mean, I worked on bars and I once found a bloke's false teeth at the end of a shift. Like, I don't remember thinking, this is so traumatising, I could never return to work.
Yeah, that's a really good point. When did bar staff suddenly become the gatekeepers of culture?
Yeah, they've got the power of the heckler's veto, haven't they? They can just turn down, like, I'm not having that person in case they say something, you know, interesting.
Is this part of the new Bill of Employers' Rights that Labour brought in and we didn't really realise? And one of them was that if the bar staff hate your act, you're out.
That's right. Is that the one that they're calling the banter bill?
Yes. What is that? I've heard a few things about that. So that's a employer's. So if there is banter or something masquerading as humour in the workplace that's offensive to somebody, that it can be policed or sanctioned.
Yeah, again, it's a bit like everybody saying that I know says you would not want some WhatsApp conversations publicised because they're fun. Mm. That's when you're sort of expressing yourself. And I suppose that's what the pub used to be, was sort of a version of a WhatsApp chat where you think, oh, I won't have this chat at home or at work.
Mm.
Pub is the place for it. And so we just keep removing these places where you can have a fun chat.
Well, yeah.
Not know where it's going. Just freewheel into some kind of spicy, dangerous areas and then go, oh, what? I don't even know what I'm saying.
Domain talking point, our super patron, David Domain, who picks up on things from previous week's shows. Dominic Frisbee was on. He's got a new book out about gold. It seems to be doing well, so go ahead and buy it. He's got plenty to say on that subject. Very interesting. But he did say that gold didn't really have many uses. And a lot of people got in touch to talk about the uses in dentistry, which David Domain mentioned, which has been in use since 700 BC for fillings, crowns and bridges. Engineering, the lubrication of mechanical parts. Well, that was sexy. I don't know if it's my age, but you've brought together two things that middle-aged men kind of... I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Electrical conductors, coating inside spacecrafts, an ingredient in manufacturing energy-efficient glass. And last but not least, jewellery. Of course, jewellery. Gold has been used in jewellery for quite a while. It was really interesting. We spoke about Putin and Trump and the Alaska meeting and stuff. And we slagged them both off. And I thought Dominic Frisbee spoke quite movingly about how many people might die because of the ego of men. And then some guy on Blue Sky was saying that we were basically propaganda for Russia. I thought, well, it's that kind of propaganda where I think that they'd want a fucking refund. We essentially accused them of letting young men die for their own egos. But I guess you hear what you want to hear. David says that CNN reported this June that Russian military casualties in Ukraine amounted to nearly 1 million. I mean, that's massive, isn't it? Even historically, that's like proper old-fashioned fucking cavalry charge numbers.
Yeah, but that's part of the problem, isn't it? That he doesn't really care about his own people being just put into a meat grinder because he's got enough of them. He can kind of wear down the enemy by just putting Russian men in the firing line, largely, I guess. Mm. It's sad, really, but that's sort of a long-held Russian tactic, isn't it?
Well, you're expendable in the name of Mother Russia.
I think
but
so.
Just to be clear, in case that guy's listening again this week, I don't think Vladimir Putin is very nice. I don't think he should have invaded Ukraine. And there you go. I said it, yeah.
And just to be clear, I'll say that I don't think that's an admirable military strategy. Just
cut me off, Moscow. I think we also said that Vladimir was a guy that was gay and hadn't come to terms with his sexuality. So again, if it's propaganda, I'm not sure it's exactly the kind that Vladimir... Of course, nothing wrong with being gay. There is something wrong with being gay and pretending you're not gay your whole life and riding around on a fucking horse with a shirt off and letting other people die because you can't just get a hand job off a bloke. Now, definition, we spoke about the word gaggle. It's always used in association with a gaggle of girls. It's a disorderly group of people, says the OED. So it can apply to males as well. I'd venture gaggle of girls is more common because it alliterates. So
yeah.
I was trying to think, what's the equivalent for boys? Would it be a boisterosity of boys?
Yeah, something like that. A banter?
A banter of boys, a malevolence of males.
Yeah. A masculinity, something. A toxicity of men, yeah.
What
most people think. Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Okay, the thank you and the fuck you. I'll do the thank you. Thanks to everyone that come to see me at the Fringe. I don't know if it was just the sunshine. It sold great for me and the reaction was great. But what was really nice was people that come to a lot of shows were coming up afterwards saying that they felt it was the best show they'd seen me do, which sounds like a self-wank to do. But I have tried to evolve what I'm doing here and talk about different things. So when it comes from people that have come to a lot of shows, that meant a lot. So I've kind of been in the situation where I've called my show Basic Bloke 2, but it is, it's The Empire Strikes Back. All right.
Oh, nice.
of sequels is that, you know, initially the critics will hate it, but it will mature after people leave. No, I mean, look, it's just been a brilliant response. And it's interesting when you're at the fringe because, you know, in the comedy circuit, I suppose guys like us, there's still a fair few of us, right? But I'm in a dressing room with about 20 people. You know, they're all going off to various shows, you know. And I would say that my demographic and my worldview and everything, I was the outsider.
Right.
I was the outsider. As the straight white middle-aged male, I was sort of like the rare bird. There's just hardly any. I mean, there was Hal Crutton, Ian Stone, Simon Evans, but it really is. We almost look like we're there out of, like, not necessarily like our sexuality or our race, but like an age diversity quota.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think there's gaps in the market because there are people that want to see comedy from that worldview and that style, you know? It's
yeah.
They should have our own little separate program.
They should go on a cruise ship then because that's where those guys have gone.
Fair, yeah. The fringe on a ship.
The food might be better than the actual fringe.
The accommodation would be cheaper. You could go to you could go 14 days back to the Caribbean and back for less than it would cost for a Holiday Inn in Edinburgh in August. The fuck you, Alan. What are you frustrated about? What do you want to get off your chest?
Well, I'm going to say it's such a cliched, blokey kind of on the circuit thing. But when Google Maps gets stuff wrong, I find it so frustrating. Like I had a real, every time I do Glasgow now, Jeff, because I drive a 2011 diesel, I have to drive my car to the outskirts of Glasgow and jump on a subway into the middle of Glasgow because their low emission zone will not accept me. So every time I do it, I spend way too much time doing Google Maps. Oh, I could drive to that subway station and then leave my car there in the park and ride. But then you're not meant to park overnight. And it's so annoying. So this time I did it and I drove to a place that I thought, oh, I could just walk across that, like a little walkway flyover to that.
I think I know where this is going. Yeah.
And I get there and that walkover bit is boarded up. And then I drive up to the next one and then it takes me to a million miles away from this. Oh, God. But really, I just want us to go back to burning fossil fuels.
Yes. I mean, was there a frustration at yourself, perhaps, that you'd relied so squarely on technology?
Yeah, and also a frustration that I keep wasting loads of time on looking at the jiggery pokery of Google Maps and trying to outwit a system. And actually what I'm doing is giving them what they want. What they want is for me to not drive a dirty diesel into the middle of Glasgow. And I'm trying to park it on the edge of that zone and go in without it. But anyway, and I've got another grumble, but I don't know if I might have mentioned this before, but you just reminded me of it when you were talking about doing a new Edinburgh show. I was trying new material once. This is maybe 5 or 6 months ago. As I was doing this new material, a woman in the audience was just shaking her head like that. Just a full head shake and a sort of slight frown.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, God, she hates my new material. Mm. And I said to her, why are you shaking your head like that, madam? And she said, oh, I've had exactly this experience that you're talking about. And I said, surely nodding would be a more appropriate response because that is the universal sign of agreement. Like, oh, I understand and empathize with this.
That's such a Middle England thing. I just can't do anything positive or affirmative.
And sometimes as a comic doing new stuff, you know yourself, you get the message wrong. Like you just sort of think, oh, I want them to know that it's about this, but they think it's about this. But now I've got a new problem where the audience are giving me back mixed messages because what she meant was nodding. Like she was agreeing with the bit. It was like, oh, this is really relatable.
Yeah, there's no way for you to know that that means that she agrees.
When she's shaking her head, I thought she was indicating never say this out loud in any other room.
I had a funny one at the Fringe. I was talking about talking about the fact that you can drink a can of non-alcoholic beer while driving, right? And I said to a guy at the front, I said, have you ever done it? because he said he liked Guinness Zero. And he said, no. And I said, why not? He said, because I'm blind, right? And the audience cracked up laughing. I was like, this is why I should film everything like the younger comics. I said, that would have got 100,000 views. No offense, right? But he took it in the spirit it was meant, right? Uh-huh. And then we went on to talking about going to the gym. And I was about to talk about going to the gym. And I said, oh, by the way, just so you know, mate, I said, just to fill in the picture, I'm incredibly ripped, muscular, handsome, low hairline. And his wife, genuinely, she went, he's not that blind. And honestly, it's one of those ones where we've both been doing it long enough where you kind of go, this is going to be tough after this now, because I don't think I've got a single thing in the show that can kind of top the fucking spontaneity of that. It was 22 minutes in. I was like, yeah, all right, no, I'm calling it. Have a great weekend, everyone. See you next Fringe. Okay, we're going to talk politics now. We're going to talk about Labour going back to school and Angela Rayner, well, going back to any one of her free properties. Okay, we'll start off with Labour Parliament being not being recalled. They're just going back, right? It's kind of like going back to school for them. But you know, like that dread going back to school. Like they've spent 6 weeks knowing that the last thing the school bully said was, I'm going to fucking get you, Labour. and even in the school holiday, they've been bullied by a new bully that lives on their estate. And then they're going back to the old bully. And it's going to be tricky for them, isn't it? Because the big thing on the horizon is the budget. And yeah. We all know that they're going to have to get some money from somewhere, and every single thing they say is hated by everyone. What was the latest one? Was about capital gains tax on any property sales over a certain value, right? And I think right. the threshold was quite high. I think it was around the million mark. But it also, as has been pointed out, is that if you do that, those people are now never selling their houses and you don't get the kind of chain effects going on. What a genuine like question, and maybe this is born of sympathy for them, is look, they've made mistakes with the economy to this point. I don't know what are the good options from this point. Is there any?
Maybe. Do you think this is what could make them become conservative? Like they've painted themselves into a corner entirely, and then they go,
yeah.
Well, we can't actually tax anything else. Should we just spray some things up, cut some red tape and just go for it, like see if we can stimulate the economy?
Option.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Well, that was the idea with slashing regulation. And they, you know, if they're genuine about that, that could be the way that you get growth. Because how do you get growth, right? You cut taxes or you spend money. Like there's not that many options. There's not many levers you can pull. Or you raise taxes. How do you grow, like reduce the deficit, or you raise taxes? Now they batted themselves into a corner where they've said that they're not going to do that.
Yeah.
So I genuinely don't know. It's kind of intriguing to know what this budget is going to consist of. Is it going to be some like real magical shit?
I wonder if they might look to history and start doing just sort of weird taxes that we aren't expecting. Like,
yes,
you know, when there was window taxes and. Obviously, people just immediately board up all the bottom floor for it.
Dog taxes? A lot of people have got dogs now.
Yeah, you can have like designer dogs because a lot of us hate those.
Designer dogs. And as the dogs get bigger, you know, like car tax with is so many CCs. As the dogs get bigger, like if you've got like a...
Or more expensive, make it like a sort of VAT-added dog.
Luxury dogs. Dogs that create more emissions.
Also, historically, there was beard taxes, wasn't there? That could work in some of the hipster areas. We could get some...
Finally.
Some of those guys that look like male models, you know, the tattooed and a big grey beard. Let's have them sort of do their bit.
Those fishermen pricks, they've got it coming. And it's weird because simultaneously, government loans, right, gilts, right, the rate at which governments can borrow and what they have to repay are now like significantly higher than at any point during the Liz Truss era. Right. I think the 30-year gilts are massive. And it does sort of beg the question of like, I guess the reason it was news when the Liz Truss was because it was seen to be a direct reaction to policy. But equally, the lack of kind of coverage of what's happening now is a little bit fucking odd, right?
Yeah.
They're really, really high. The 30-year one, I think, is like a historic high. And for some reason, it's not a discussion. Why is that?
It's one of those bits of the news that I feel like I'm a bit thick because, like, I think the Liz Truss thing, there was a narrative arc and the Bank of England somehow stitched her up or some monetary fund that I don't understand. These people that know about markets and she spooked the markets and then somebody else said, oh, well, she was economically right, but politically wrong. She did it at the wrong time, or she did it all too severely, or all that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's, it's one of those ones where I tap out. I go, I don't think I'm clever enough for this bit of the news.
I've got a hunch.
Right.
I'll give you my hunch.
Yeah, yeah.
And the hunch is that what you just said, she was economically right, but politically wrong. It was like too much too soon. It was all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like they cut the top rate and they're like, fuck it. Because did you remember that they'd actually said they were going to cancel the rise in corporation tax? And the market sort of shrugged and was like, all right, fine. Uh-huh. And then they were like, and we've cut the top rate. And they were like, okay, no one saw that coming. And then it was briefing that Kwasi Kwarteng was sort of saying, we're just getting started. It's like, sorry, do you want things to get fucking weird? Because they're going to get weird if you carry on like this. But yeah, ultimately, going for growth, trying to stimulate growth was the right idea. It was just handled badly.
Right.
Because I totally understand why there's massive discussions about immigration, like legal and non-legal. We have to get a grip on that. But there is this thing of like, you know, we do need to talk about growing the economy to arguably just as pressing. I don't know, maybe they feel they could get more of a result on immigration than they can on growing the economy.
I think that's just that they can't talk about, they can't not talk about immigration anymore. Like they spent decades basically saying that anybody that brings up immigration is racist, and now they sort of can't. Like the elephant is so in the room that they have to begrudgingly talk about. I'm sure they would much rather talk about, you know, the economy or horoscopes or anything, like anything at all.
So it's such a good point. It's almost like for all the years they spent doing that, they're now going to have to spend as many years acknowledging legitimate concerns. I mean, if the whole Gillian Duffy thing happened now, remember Gordon Brown with the hot mic?
Yeah, yeah.
He would now have to go, that completely reasonable woman with legitimate concerns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who I admire and I hope for her vote one day. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, who's just worried about her community.
Most people think Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
All right, let's discuss old Angie Free Flats. I think let's be clear with Angela Rayner and her property portfolio. We need to be clear on a nickname before we go anywhere, really. We had two Jags.
Yeah.
Angie Free Flats would work, but I think at least one of them is a house, so that makes it difficult.
Although it does work with your accent as well, because you say free rather than three. Yeah. And
yes.
And I think one of them is a free property that she gets through
Angie
work.
Free Flats. Angie Free Flats. Free pads.
Oh, yeah. Pad.
That sounds...
It's murky, that one. Yeah,
That one is murky. I mean, it's interesting, like, just before we get into the kind of, like, the reads of the actual political side, it's funny, like, what the press get wrong about Angela Rayner. There's mm-hmm. a photograph that's done the rounds of her sitting in a little canoe vaping.
Yes.
And everyone's kind of shared that. Her enemies have shared that. And I was like, I don't know if that's the win you think it is. I think that just makes her look normal. The same way the Giorgia Meloni, one of the things people like about it is, oh, she likes an Aperol spritz and a fag. You know, like all this. It's right. With smoking, literally, if you're a politician, smoke.
Right.
Because it, for some reason, it defines you as a rebel or authentic.
I agree completely. And for many years, I've had a bugbear that all my life, basically, I've seen politicians interrupt their summer holiday to speak about something. Mm. And they always come out in one of their politician suits. And every time it happens, I think, who takes a work suit on holiday with them?
Yeah.
It just seems so not normal to me. But Angela Rayner picture, that is about as normal as it gets. Like, she's in an inflatable kayak thing.
And she looks bored shitless as well.
Yeah, it's perfect. Thing. Like, I really like it.
What she looks like is it was one of those things that was a great idea for about 4 minutes.
Right, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And now she's like, fucking hell, we've hired this for an hour.
And I saw some people saying that it was evidence of her working classness that she vapes. And I was thinking, some of the poshest people I encounter vape. I keep seeing, you know, really posh people on podcasts vaping, and then you do a gig with somebody and they went to Eton and they're vaping backstage. I don't think vaping is a particularly working class thing, unless there's some vapes out there that are shaped like old school pipes or something. Is a class divide on vaping?
I don't think so. I think they've got it. I think they've got it wrong. I think where they might have a point is about like the sort of the optics of her property, not her vaping, but the property portfolio thing. Because at the time when Labour have already introduced a 100% premium on second homes council tax,
definitely
talking about doing it again on third homes. You know, the general vibe of this government has been to sort of punish or tax people that have more than one property. And so she's now getting a third. And people would say, well, loads of Tories got loads of properties. You know, yeah, they're the Tories. That they wouldn't ever say that you shouldn't have that.
Exactly. They're not condemning it in others, whereas she very publicly has done.
Well, her party, the tone that they've struck on property ownership has been very much in that direction. And I suppose there are questions about her council tax arrangements that she has to answer as well. And again, like I think that will come out in the fullness of time. But it's okay for her to be wealthy. I mean, some people are suggesting that where's the money come from? That's, you know, given...
Yeah, I think that's interesting.
Yeah, I would like to know that. Where has the money come from?
If she just said, look, I did really well at the bookies. What can I tell you? It was on an accumulator. It all came in.
I won it on the scratchies.
I was just
getting a 40,000 puff vape.
Yeah, whereas if she was middle class, she'd say the premium bonds.
Yes, yeah. No, it's odd. And it also the timing of it coming out as well, it does make me think. It is interesting with Rayner. Every single time that her star starts to rise and her credentials are as a potential leader go up, it's really weird how there's a story in the papers about her.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying anything about the Starmer regime, but I'm saying that there are pieces on the puzzle board. God damn it, if I can't put them together. I mean, I honestly think this is like Morgan McSweeney style stitch up. As much as Starmer's, but yeah, a decent man. He's tried to sack her several times.
It's like a sort of mosquito in a tent when you're camping that you cannot get rid of.
Yeah, she just like,
reappears.
I mean, completely transparent on Rayner. Like, a lot of her politics, I think, would literally destroy Britain economically. Uh-huh. But, you know, in an age, a fairly fallow period of actually fluent communicators and interesting people, you know, she does stand out. Mm-hmm. And I do think with Labour, all right, if you've got a problem on your left flank and you get rid of her, what is there? Who is there, more to the point? Mm-hmm. Peter Kyle running around calling people Jimmy Savile, fucking Yvette Cooper, who's always fated by the centrist dads as like this great kind of like technocrat, and she is. But there's a reason why Shabana Mahmood, the Justice Secretary, is more in the press about like immigration and stuff, because she's actually interesting. Yvette Cooper is fucking... Have you watched an interview with her?
Not for a long time, no.
She honestly makes Keir Starmer seem like Orson Welles. She's one of the most dismal communicators I've ever seen. So yeah, that's the question. Is yeah, there's the whiff of hypocrisy. How did she get the money?
Yeah.
Vaping is not a problem in a kayak.
Also, what I really like about this story is if she's buying property, there must be points where she, a frontline politician, is in a room with an estate agent, which must feel like battle of the least trusted professions. When the estate agent is saying it's very beautiful, it's a vibrant up and coming area. Is it a bit like when Keir Starmer says we don't have a free speech problem in Britain?
Yes, he's like, listen, okay, you do what you do, I'll do what you do. Let's cut the bullshit, okay?
I was once in an estate agent in London, and as I was in there, just sort of asking for a leaflet for a property, another estate agent ran in and went, they're here. And all these estate agents ran out because there were traffic wardens coming to put tickets on all their cars. And I had the same moment of thinking, oh, these might be two of the most loathed professions.
That's so funny.
Traffic wardens versus estate agents. There's only one way to find out. Fight.
Like Alien versus Predator, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
I like the way you said they're here as well, like it was the beginning of Poltergeist.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we're going to talk about girls becoming more left-wing. The reason I'm talking about this is because there was an article on the BBC, which was a consequence of research, which was the result of a YouGov survey into the 2019 general election. And it sort of crystallized the trend that we're all aware was kind of happening, is that there's been this divergence between young men and young women. Young men more likely to vote Reform, young women more likely, well, at the election, more likely to vote Labour, but now they're sort of splintering off into the Greens and to an extent the Lib Dems. And I was really pleased, Alan, just to see that the headline was "Why Are Young Women Becoming More Left-Wing?" Because for some time now, like, it's almost been presumed that that's fine. There's no worries there. That mm-hmm. But whatever boys are doing is the problem, because obviously, as we know, right wing is Hitler, left wing is acoustic guitars and fucking daisy chains. And
it's not Chairman Mao or anything. It's
no.
Just...
This is the point. I mean, I mentioned this last week talking about Lewis Goodall talking about 100% inheritance tax. We need to start making an association between certain what I think are extremist left wing policies and where that shit ends up.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But yes, I think you're probably right.
People getting fucking disappeared and stuff that. There are consequences. Yeah, if you want to talk about open borders, fine. But we must also talk about the civil unrest that would quickly unfold in the face of that policy and how it wouldn't help anybody and lots of people would die unnecessarily. Anyway, now, the question that they ask is, I think, quite an easy one to answer, is why are girls becoming more left-wing? And it's got, well, because left-wing politics is a fan of who they are, right? Instinctively.
Right.
Young female, if you look at left-wing politics, who are they most positive about? Probably diverse people. And then if you go down, right, young women, that's... Mm-hmm. It's like being at the fringe. It's a bit like being at the fringe. What gets people out of bed? So it makes you think, is it kindness to be left-wing, or is it just what every voter should be doing, which is acting in your own self-interest, to go, this wing of politics furnishes, and obviously they will think that it's better for society as a whole, but it also furnishes me with things, and therefore that is where I sit.
Right.
It's not an act of total benevolence, is it?
No. I like the fact that we're going down an Ayn Rand type situation here, but I think one of the reasons that the left appeals to young women is that it seems nicer. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it takes a certain amount of almost disagreeableness to say we should vote in our own interests, or we should protect the borders, or we should drop taxes in order to stimulate. Like, there's some counterintuitive messages in the centre and in the right.
You have to risk being unpopular. Yeah,
exactly.
And the appearance of selfishness.
Yes, yeah. And I think that's quite hard as a young woman, because perhaps there's a pressure on them to be more agreeable, which I think is probably unfair, but it seems to me that that's how it is.
Well, that in itself is sexist. That's what I think is this perception that exists in comedy, is if you come out in comedy and say that you've got small C conservative or right wing leaners, you'll get some stick as a man. But if you was to do that as a woman, you would get loads of stick. And I would guarantee a lot of it would come from feminist men. And I've seen it when I've been on political discussion shows. They're so hostile to right wing women. And to me, that's the epitome of sexism, because you're sort of saying, we own this view, we own your point of view. And you can't think that because you're supposed to be nice. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be agreeable and soft and like Mary Poppins singing to the fucking, you know, blue tits or whatever.
I like this story because it basically said young women and young men might have different behaviours. I thought, oh, I almost felt nostalgic about there being a men versus women routine in that.
Well, they see the world slightly differently because of how they're wired. I mean, I'm trying to be like this. If it sounds like I'm digging out young women, I'm not. It's the same as the young right-wing boys. They're going that way because that wing of politics seems to like them, right? It's the same reasons that they're pulling in different directions. And I suppose I was trying to think. I went to see a Fringe show, which I mentioned last week, by a very young female comic. And there was a lot of hostility in it towards men. It wasn't like humorous at times. It was genuinely hostile. And I was trying to think, well, why is that? And I guess they've been brought up in an age where online they've been brought up, and for want of a better reference, the Andrew Tate age, right? So if they've gone online, they in their formative years, they've seen a lot of woman hate, like what, you know, things that are misogyny, hateful misogyny, things that they perceive as misogyny that are perhaps old-fashioned. I thought, I guess maybe that sort of radicalized them a bit, because they're sort of thinking, well, that wing of politics kind of despises me. So maybe that's part of the reason.
And also they're at a young point where they might not have been in a workplace where a senior male has helped them out or done, you know, like advice on career progression, like that sort of stuff. I think somewhat defangs some of the online stuff, where it's nice to be able to say, oh, there's a guy at work who isn't toxic. He did some favors for me. He gave me a lift home or whatever it is. It's like that sort of interconnectedness. Some of that comes through just life experience, doesn't it? and it might not have happened yet.
Well, there is, yeah. I mean, there's that old thing of like, just open the window, you know, like whatever you think is wrong or all the conflicts you are, just walk around the block.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally, just go in a shop. I mean, it's difficult because in our industry, there are a lot of arsehole men. I mean, I'd say an entertainment generally over delivers, perhaps in the worst possible way.
Yes.
But yeah, I just thought it was intriguing to see like people talking about female politics going more left wing, because the truth is the populist right currently are getting traction in this country. But the Corbyn-Sultana thing, if that coalesces in an effective way, and frankly, it doesn't look like it's going to, because I still don't think they've got a fucking name and they managed to completely botch the announcement. But if it does, like that centre ground of like extreme economic policies could easily switch the other way. And then people would say, well, why did we spend years not talking about it? We weren't focused on it in the same way. You remember that the first thing of Andrew Tate come out, you had all these middle-class columnists going, how's this happened in our houses? You know.
Yeah. Could it be that you've spent a decade or two decades calling young men idiots? Could it be that?
Well, yeah. I mean, this is why a lot of young men gravitated towards Trump. It's really simple. I think Bill Burr would put it like, I like them because they like me.
Right.
And I've no doubt that, you know, it's a similar story on both sides.
What most people think.
All right, speaking of young men now, we're going to discuss some of the dangers to young men as we talk about the, Elon Musk, I think his company have produced an AI girlfriend. And we're going to talk about whether or not this is a worrying development. Spoiler alert, definitely a worrying development. Okay, listen, we just, that chat about AI girlfriends got very, very interested. It ended up with not good conclusions about the male condition, but if you fancy that, do go and join up at Patreon. Alan Cochrane, your stand-up special, that when we last spoke, that was out. So obviously that's still out.
It is still out, and thank you for that, because a few people came along and watched it and said that they'd come from listening to your podcast, so I appreciate that. It's still there. If you didn't watch it last time, go and watch it this time.
Alan is a great stand-up. If you watch it, he will get views and ad revenue. It's really simple. It's a classic win-win. I mean, it's fucking free. It's literally free to you. Yes, there might be a couple of moments where you have to wait 5 seconds and press skip, but Jesus Christ.
I don't think there's any ads on it, to be honest.
There's no ads on it.
I don't think so. It's just there for the love of the game.
Love of the game. Love of the game. That's beautiful to hear. Listen, Alan, thanks so much for being on What Most People Think. This week, it's a Patreon-only week. So if you want to have another episode of What Most People Think, do join up at the Patreon site. But yeah, I will be asking you patrons for your questions. And everybody else, I'll see you again early next week.
Casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.